Hello and welcome to the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. I'm Olivia, your host, and on this podcast, we will talk about everything related to the journey to conceive, pregnancy, labor, birth, postpartum, parenthood, and beyond. This is a safe space where birth professionals, birthing people, expectant parents, and partners can come on and share their knowledge or personal experiences with our listeners. The goal of this podcast is to create connections, share stories, information, and resources to educate and empower people in their own personal journey. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Healthy Balanced Birth and Beyond podcast. This week, I have Diana Spaulding with me today. I'm very excited to have her here. We were just talking about how we've been trying to make this happen since February, so we're very excited to actually be talking today. Diana and I connected through Instagram, actually. I don't know where I saw it, but I saw your TED Talk.
Oh, okay, right.
I saw your TED Talk and I felt so drawn and so connected to everything that you were talking about because it was about nurturing the mother and the importance of taking care of moms during postpartum, which a lot of people don't talk about. And I'm not sure that a lot of people fully realize how much it impacts your whole life once you have a baby. I think there definitely needs to be more discussion about it. So do you want to share with us about you, give a little introduction to yourself and the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. So I am the digital education editor over at Motherly. I'm also a certified nurse midwife, a pediatric nurse, and I'm a mother of three. And I've just written a book, which is releasing in like 10 days.
Oh, it's 10 days from when we're recording this.
Yeah. Oh my God, on April 14th.
Perfect.
So it's pretty crazy. And that's called The Motherly Guide to Becoming Mom.
I can't wait to read it. And you pre-order it on Amazon, correct?
Yes, on all the retailers, you know, your favorite book retailers, I'll have it available for pre-order now.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll include the link for that in the show notes as well
so everybody can see it. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So what did you feel like you wanted to talk about first? I mean, I feel like everything kind of ties in together as one sort of intertwining blob, I guess.
So true.
So we could talk about a variety of things, but one of the things that you talked about in your TED Talk that I don't feel like people talk about enough because it's a scary topic is the maternal mortality rate in the United States. And the fact that that is happening in such a developed country and in other countries it's happening less, which blows my mind. So I mean, we can start wherever. That's just one thing that I always want to talk about.
That is such an important topic, and I appreciate you bringing it up. So the maternal mortality rate in the United States is rising, which is absurd. Especially when you consider that the estimate is that at least half of those deaths should be preventable.
Right.
And the other incredibly upsetting part of that is that is the disparities. So Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy, birth, and postpartum complications than white women.
Which is so horrible.
Yeah.
There are no words.
I mean, for sure at crisis level, and warrants, I mean, like immediate action
because
it's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know, when we look at the reasons behind it, and you know, when it comes to the disparities, research is showing that it's racism. It's systemic racism that, you know, has unfortunately been, it's not new, it's been in this country and, you know, all along. We're now just sort of finally figuring out that is what is causing the huge disparities. But, you know, things like, you know, research has been done and it's been found that it takes providers longer to respond to reported symptoms when those symptoms are being reported by a woman of color. So, you know, a woman saying like, I am having XYZ postpartum symptom and I'm really worried about it. And if she's Black, it takes providers like longer to listen.
Which I don't understand. And, like deep down, I do not understand.
I know. I know.
It's horrible and it blows my mind. And it honestly bothers me so much that this level of racism and inequality still exists on so many levels. I'm not going to get into politics because that's a whole other thing.
But that's another podcast.
Yeah. But I just feel like there's significantly more, I will say. Yeah. And it's impacting people in so many different spaces, but specifically the birth space. And this is a time where any woman needs support. Any birthing person needs support. It does not matter what skin color you are. You should be listened to no matter what.
Yeah, it is. Like every time I state that fact, I'm with you. I'm always like, what?
Like why?
I know what? it's awful. And then there's just sort of the stress of living with racism.
Yeah.
To constantly sort of have this burden that you have to carry is incredibly stressful. And as we know, stress impacts the body profoundly, so there are real health consequences there. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at maternal mortality as a whole, I think one of the things that feels so upsetting is it feels like people don't really care because we're a bunch of women, there's this underlying like, oh, but it's just the ladies, so there are layers and layers and layers of issues here for sure.
Right. And that stems to postpartum too. Like
100%.
Even in the postpartum where you're like, hey, like I need this support. I feel like people still are like, oh, well, you're just saying that you don't really need it. Or, I don't even know. Like, I don't understand the mindset around it. It kind of just, I'm at a loss for words a lot of the time.
I know. No, I hear you. I think that we sort of take motherhood and mothers for granted, and the transition that happens has sort of always happened behind closed doors. And also, we pay a lot of attention to women, or we should at least, when they're pregnant and then they give birth and we're like, okay, good job. When really you're like probably more vulnerable after you've given birth than you are when you're pregnant, right? And we have this kind of like bounce back expectation.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
My youngest is 4 and a half and I'm like still recovering from that whole experience. There's just a huge mindset shift.
Yes.
That needs to happen. And I'm happy that we're having these conversations. I'm so grateful for podcasts like yours that are, really giving people the opportunity to talk about this and to think about it and to explore it. Because if we don't, it's just going to continue to be this like underlying problem that has really profound impacts. Postpartum depression and anxiety, the effects of that last a long time.
Yeah.
If people can't get treated, and there's stigma and there's economic repercussions, and it impacts every aspect of our life.
It snowballs essentially.
Exactly.
Thing I was going to say based on what you were talking about that I feel like is important to mention is that these things are not new things. Like mothers have been going through these things forever. But now I feel like people are finally using their voice and like saying, hey, I need this help. I need this support, because there's still hope. Like there is absolutely still this expectation of, okay, you become a mother and you're just supposed to take on everything. And you are capable of doing that because these women have done it and they didn't say that they needed help or that they didn't say they needed the support, but that doesn't mean that you don't need it. It means that they just didn't vocalize it. And that also ties into what you were saying about us being women and people not fully taking it seriously when we're talking about taking on literally like everything. Like you go from being pregnant, which you're growing a human, which a lot of people I feel like forget sometimes.
Yeah.
All of your energy is going to growing a tiny human. It's literally all going to that. And then if you're still working or doing whatever, it's you need time to rest, and we do not rest in our society here. I mean, sometimes I know that there are some people who have realized the importance of doing so, but majority of the time it's go, 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 go. Yeah. And then baby's here, and then it's still, okay, get right back up, keep going. You have to go back to work, which is one thing that you and I are going to lead into talking about is the lack of paid maternity leave.
Yeah. Yeah, the, no, everything you're saying is so spot on.
Or the duration of maternity.
The duration, too. Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, I feel like I've had people say to me before, like, well, it's always been like this, so what's the big, like, what's the big deal? Or like, well, you know, this generation did it, why can't your generation, like, suck it up and do it?
Right.
And I just, you know, I feel like every generation of humans brings with them like their work, right? Mm-hmm. So like our, you know, grandmothers had, you know, tremendous work that they did, and they advanced, you know, society in the way that they did. And then, you know, our mothers, like my mom was the first woman in her family to really like work outside the home, you know? Wow. Okay. And that was like the work that they did. You know, and now our generation is like calling attention to these inequities and all of these problems. So you're totally right. Like, it's been there all along. We just haven't had an opportunity to really talk about it.
Right.
And so because of the work of previous generations, our generation can now start to really vocalize it. And the hope is that the next, you know, group of moms that come through, you know, can start to continue the work and can start to benefit from all of the sort of outcry that's happening right now.
Yeah. And I mean, I just feel like it's so difficult to talk about it because of people who have that mindset where they're like, oh, well, you should just be able to do this and it's fine and you'll be fine. You just have to figure it out, you know? So I applaud you and all the women who came before us who are talking about these things and being like, hey, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
Where do you want to hop in? I'm trying to figure out because it's all so intertwined.
It's all so intertwined. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the, you know, parental leave, and I think that is a huge part of it. And I don't, you know, I don't know if we want to get into this, but, you know, at the time of this, recording, it is the pandemic, you know, and I don't know if we want to talk about that or not, but
touch on it. That's totally fine.
You know, it's so interesting, this idea of like so many people are starting to really, because of this pandemic, I mean, there's like 1,000 things that are coming up, obviously, but one of those things is this, like the silent workload of being a caregiver, that this is really shedding light on like how much work it is to take care of children. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. It's all of those things. And it is a tremendous amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, has sort of been this idea in our culture that is like, I cannot remember who said this, and I'm sorry for forgetting their name, but there was a quote that was something to the effect of like, we expect women to work as if they don't have children and have children, raise their children as if they don't, you know, work or something like that.
We'll find the quote and we'll include
Let's
it.
Let's find
the show notes.
Can you help me find that? Okay. Because I want to make sure that we attribute that to the right person. And I want to be clear that like work has a very broad meaning for me. Like work is just where you spend your hours.
Yes.
Maybe you spend those hours like taking care of children in the home, or maybe you spend those hours, you know, being employed by someone, or maybe it's a combination, but it's all work. But I think there's been this idea that like the caregiving aspect, the nurturing children, that piece is easy. Like, well, what do you do all day? Like,
I know.
And so this pandemic with like many, many people now finding that they don't have childcare and they have to do this sort of combined work that many women have been doing for like ever.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, oh. So it will be interesting to see if this can help to shift the conversation and the understanding around the importance of things like parental leave and giving working parents a little bit more understanding.
Yeah.
That, like, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. And I'm honestly really glad that you brought that up because it ties into everything that we're talking about perfectly.
Yeah.
I remember I think it's Finland just passed a new bill where the parents get like 17 weeks of paid maternity and paternity. I don't know if that's the exact number, but I will find
okay.
it. But it just shows how far the United States has to come in terms of thinking about the importance of taking care of babies, but also taking care of the parents, whether it's the mother who's the primary caregiver, or there are stay-at-home dads too.
Absolutely.
There's both. And there's also so much that comes on along with it mentally too. Like, mothers and fathers and partners need to be able to take care of themselves in every way. And if we're not providing the time and the space to do that, then it's going to cause burnout. It has caused burnout.
Yeah.
It causes anxiety. It causes depression, or it keeps it going.
It's so true. And my TEDx talk was about burnout and mothers specifically, but you know, burnout is a very, very real phenomenon. And as I shared in the TEDx talk, the World Health Organization, actually recognizes burnout now, in the workplace. But you know, I think that the workplace, as I said, extends to parenthood, right?
To home too.
But it has like very real health impacts. You know, people who experience burnout have decreased immunity, and that means increased risk of infections. They have increased risk of heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, depression. And in addition to those being very difficult illnesses to live with, like, it's going to impact our economy. It's going to impact as we're seeing right now, when we have a lot of people who are not healthy, it's the consequences are devastating, you know, and it's a longer process. You know, burnout isn't as immediate as a pandemic, but its impact is very real, you know? So I think that this is really, really a time of like profound introspection and figuring out how to take meaningful steps to making it better.
Yeah. So I was going to say, since you were talking about burnout and that was the topic of your TED talk, do you want to kind of, for people who haven't listened to it, I will link it below, but do you want to kind of touch on some of the top, like the bullet points from that?
Yeah, sure. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, I realized that in my work, you know, as a midwife with pregnant people and birthing people and new parents, and, you know, there was sort of just this omnipresent like exhaustion that people just have, you know, when I talk to them, it's just feeling like tired all the time and feeling, cynical or feeling like you've sort of, you know, we've lost our motivation at times and all of that. And so when we started looking into it, we realized that parents are burning out. Motherly does a state of motherhood survey every year. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, we found that 85% of mothers do not feel supported by their society, which is huge.
Huge.
And upsetting and gross and all of that. And it's having a very real impact on mothers. So, you know, we talk about burnout. And then you want to start talking about like, well, so, okay, so this is a problem. What's the answer?
Right. What do we do?
What do we do? Right. And again, like it's like an onion, you know, there's so many layers to it that it's hard. It's not an easy overnight thing to solve at all. The thing that I focused on in my TEDx talk was the significance of social support. Social support being, the availability of emotional and physical support when you need it by the people around you. And I think that, you know, when we talk about problems like this, it feels overwhelming and daunting. But really what we need to do is just start small. Like, it's okay to do something little. It's okay to just shift the culture a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if everybody does something, it will matter. You know,
it's a big deal. It reminded me, there's some quote. I feel like we're going to be quoting people. We're going to have to find the quotes. I know, right? And include
them. I like this.
There's a quote that's, it said something like, if you don't think you can make a difference, like a huge difference, like think about being a mosquito. Like,
yes.
And yes. So it's like the smallest little things, like you can start small and then it ends up being one of the biggest things because it has like a ripple effect.
It's so true.
If you're talking about it or somebody sees you doing these things and they're also a parent, they're like, oh, well, I haven't tried that yet. Like, I can try that. Or they see the difference that it makes for you, then it could encourage them to try it themselves or to communicate that they need help, you know, or communicate that they need that extra support. I feel like that's one of the things that's really difficult. And I've even found it difficult being a first-time mom is communicating what I need and when I need help. So it's not easy because
it's not.
And it's something that takes time.
And I think that we have this idea in our society that like you have to like quote have it all together.
Yep.
And like have it all figured out and be like this, you know, perfect whatever. And so it's really hard to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's really hard
to
say I need help or what is going on.
Right. And also being like, okay, I'm not the only one who's gone through this, but 100%. Sometimes you feel like you are, or you 100%. Feel super alone. But like you said, I think social media plays a big role in like looking like you have everything together. When you see these moms who like just had a baby and are like have their hair done and their makeup done and they're like posing and getting photo shoots in their bedroom with their new baby, like they're not bleeding from just having a child or they're not recovering from a C-section.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, no, like let's talk about the real things that happen. And sure, some days you are going to have days where you like have time to do your hair and your makeup and get dressed and whatever. But there will also be days where you stay in your pajamas, you don't brush your teeth, you don't brush your hair, you might splash some water on your face, but most of your time and energy is going to your baby if you don't have that support right there for you.
Right. Right. No, it's so true. And you know, the thing also that I think about a lot is like this idea of like being a good mom, you know, and you talked about like, yeah, there are some days where you can brush your hair and you can put on real clothes and whatever. You can put on your fancy yoga pants as opposed to your like stay at home yoga pants.
Yes.
So that's like a good day for me. But like you're just a mom on all those days.
Mm-hmm.
So like the day where you can do that stuff, that's not like a good mom day. And the day where you can't do that stuff is like a bad mom day. Like every day you're just a mom and you are doing the absolute best that you can. And that's it. You know, there's no need to judge each other, but also like judging ourselves, you know, that like on the days where my kids just have cereal for dinner in front of the TV, because like, I just can't, like, okay. They love it, first of all. They think that's great. And it's okay to take care of myself, and it's okay. And those days, I'm not a bad mom on those days.
No.
I'm just a mom. Just like on the days where I made them, you know, a well-rounded, nutritious meal.
Right.
I was also just a mom on that day too, you know?
Yeah. And I love that you brought up that the kids aren't looking for you to fit a specific list of this is what makes a good mom, right? They're just looking to you to be there, to comfort them, to help them when they need help, for hugs, for kisses, for nurturing, for food. And if that happens to be like a fully cooked dinner that you had the time to make, then awesome. If it happens to be takeout, awesome. If it's breakfast for dinner, like you said, who cares? At the end of the day, they're not going to be like, you're a bad mom. They're just going to be like, I love you.
Yeah, you know, I always say, like, if you do it from a place of love, you're doing it right.
Yes.
You know, and I think that that's the piece that kids feel. And I wish that, like, moms could take a cue from their kids and start to feel that too.
Yeah.
You know, like today I loved my kids. I'm a good mom.
Yeah.
End of discussion. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with like the actions and the, you know,
yeah,
the meals and the, and also like, you know, speaking of food, like I am not a great cook. I don't, sometimes I like it, but I generally like don't, like for me, I think I had this idea that like, oh, in order to show my kids that I love them, I have to like make these meals or whatever. Like, that's just not how I show my love for anybody. And people who eat my cooking, like probably don't feel very loved by it. But like, that's okay. Like I show my kids that I love them in other ways,
right,
that are meaningful to me and to my family.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I look back at my childhood and my mother and like, I don't know, I don't remember the shortcomings. I don't remember the like, you know, I just remember like the silly stuff or those little random moments of childhood, you know? And so I think we just have to be more gentle with ourselves.
I was going
to
say too, and I feel like kids even remember like, oh, remember that time that mom let us have cereal for dinner?
Right.
You know, like that's what they remember. But I think that there's just such an idea of like needing to be perfect, like perfectionism, and there's so much pressure. And I keep saying it, and I will keep saying it to like every single person that I talk to, is that there is no one size fits all when it comes to babies and parenting or life in general. Like every single baby is different. Every single parent is different. And you have to do what works for you. Like you have to do what works for you. But I wanted to jump into talking about like the importance of nurturing moms and how we can support moms to have time to themselves so they can kind of like recharge, refresh, so they're able to show up for themselves, but also for their families, and the importance of that and the importance of talking about that and acknowledging that, because like we talked about in the beginning of this episode, I feel like people kind of just have this expectation of, okay, you're just going to handle everything and that's just how it's going to be. So I want to try and open up a conversation to start breaking that idea.
I love that. And I think it's really important. And I think there, again, like there are so many layers to that, right? Like fundamentally a lot has to change. Like if you don't have a paid parental leave, like there's no bubble bath in the world that's going to make up for that.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have a society that values you and shows you that like you're important, there's no like face mask, you know, that's going to make you feel important. So I think we have to address it on many, many different levels. And one of those levels is absolutely like encouraging moms to know that it's like self-care without guilt, you know, like to know that, that it's okay to maintain and important to maintain that sense of identity.
Yes.
And to maintain this idea of like, yeah, you're a person too.
I was just going to say, like you were a person before you were a mom, that person still matters.
Yeah. And like that person still needs to like go to doctor appointments and like that person still needs to like eat healthy foods and that person still, you know, all the things that we just push, push to the bottom of the priority list, right?
Like, yeah,
we, cause I mean, you know, I feel like when you become a mother, you get also like you get a baby and you get guilt and you,
oh my God, yes.
Right. And so as a society, we need to do a better job of helping moms remove that guilt. And I think it starts with, you know, podcasts like yours and conversations like this, where we just talk about it again and again and again and encourage other mothers to take care of themselves. And when we see moms taking care of themselves, like saying it and being like, hey, I saw on Instagram last night that you posted that you decided not to do the dishes and, you know, you watched your favorite show and you would have been like, that was great. Thanks for posting that.
Yeah.
That encouraged me to do the same thing. You know,
it's funny that you mentioned that. I posted a picture the other day of myself sleeping in my daughter's crib with her. That my husband took when we were, because I was trying to get her to nap, but she's in this phase right now where she needs like constant contact. Mm-hmm. And she's been going through a lot. Like she is definitely getting some teeth. She's on the point mm-hmm. of crawling. So she's just, there's a lot happening.
It's a stressful time for a little kid.
For her
kid.
Little body. Yeah. But she's needed essentially like constant contact naps and then even at nighttime. And so I just shared it and I was just like openly honest about it. And like I received so much feedback from that, like more than ever, like yeah. except for like a picture that I posted when she was born. But just like flooding in, I had so many people being like, thank you. Like, thank you for sharing that. And I was taken back. Like, I wasn't expecting that. Because so many people were like, oh, I thought I was the only one, or I've really been feeling like that lately. So I think that there are conversations that are starting to come up and people are starting to share real, vulnerable, open, raw, honest things. But I still feel like there needs to be less pressure for everything to be like perfect, like picture perfect.
Yeah. And that we don't tie like the quality of a human's existence to like how clean their kitchen is.
Yes,
you know,
that's what I was gonna say. Like the house.
You know, and I feel like, you know, with during this pandemic, like this is coming up also, right? My kids are a little bit older. They're 8, 5, and 4. They're all so a third grader, a kindergartner, and a preschooler. And suddenly I am now a homeschooler, right? And there's all this like, I mean, I feel all this pressure to like, you know, be a mother and a teacher and, oh yeah, do your full-time job and, oh yeah, keep your house clean. And, oh, like also maybe you should brush your hair sometimes. And like, you know, all of this stuff. But one of the things that's been great is I feel like I have been seeing a lot of people who have been saying like, those are all different jobs. Like it's okay to do all of those jobs a little bit to the best of your ability and trust that you've done enough. So I've appreciated that.
It makes me think of, there was this article that someone shared and they were talking about what mothers should be paid. Like that we don't.
It's like $150,000 or something like that, right?
And it's so true. It's like, if you stop and think about all of the different jobs that you have that are just like an umbrella for one job, under this umbrella for one job, it's mind blowing. And you said, I feel like people are starting to realize now that they're home and they can't go anywhere that, okay, holy crap, like this is a lot. You don't just sit around and do nothing. Like you clean the house 12 times a day because you have kids who are running around and doing it. You vacuum, you do the dishes, you do the laundry, you're there for every second up for your child. And then you're trying to fit in working if you are able to work from home and taking care of yourself. It's so much. And I feel like this is the perfect time to be talking about it because everybody's mm-hmm. home and dealing with these things. And I'm sure people are starting to feel burnt out at this point if they don't have support or didn't have support prior.
It's really true. It's really true. You know, and all of this starts immediately after pregnancy and birth, mm-hmm. you know, so like you're in a state of, you know, total strength and power, of course, and depletion. And, you know, for parents that become parents through adoption, like that is a very stressful process to go through as well, you know, so like we start out at a deficit, and that's fine because that's what the process involves. But because we don't have this sort of embedded culture of nurturing, we just expect parents to like have the baby and get on with it. You know, there isn't this like cocooning that happens.
I was going to say, did you, in your TED Talk, did you touch on a couple of different countries and what they do for mothers?
Yeah. So I'm trying to remember. In Sweden, you know, I think they have, I want to say it's like 480 days of paid leave that they can share with a partner. But then there are other, you know, I mean, basically every other country like pretty much in the world has at least some kind of something at a national level for parental leave that, you know, applies to everyone, not just like, I think, you know, in the US, like 17% of women have access to paid maternity leave or something.
Which is freaking bullshit. Excuse my language.
Yeah. I'm glad you said it. It's your podcast, so I didn't want to, like, you know, I'm going to let you. Yes, it is. Agreed. But, you know, other countries, I think, have, and cultures have, these sort of very, like, nurturing philosophies around a new mom, where, you know, people just, it's just like a mentality, you know, it's just a mentality. And whether or not you have someone, you know, a family member or someone who can physically be with you during that time, there's just a value that is placed on the transition into parenthood. And I think, you know, that underlying sentiment means so much, and the lack of that underlying sentiment is so deeply felt. You know, one of the things that I shared in the TEDx talk was that, like, living in a society that does not show you that you are important is overwhelmingly distressing. And that's why, like, you know, these little acts of social support, you know, helping a mom get her stroller up the stairs, like, that's not a revolutionary act. That's not gonna change her life. That's not gonna, like, fix parental leave or maternal mortality. It's not, none of that stuff. But little acts that show parents that they are important mean
everything. I forgot that you had talked about that in your TED talk. But I, now that you say, like, I remember when I was listening to it, and I'm pretty sure that I was, like, crying when I was listening to it. Because it's just, it's so real. And when you're going through these things and you're feeling like you're doing so much and people just, like, don't fully understand it, it's eye-opening, I would say.
It is.
And out of, like, my group of friends, for example, I was the first one to have a baby. So now that they're having babies, now they're talking to me and they're like, oh, like, I did not realize these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, they're real. And I am here to talk to you about them. So please throw it at me, whatever it is.
That's awesome.
So if you have, like, if you have people who have been through, who have gone through it, who understand, it makes a really big difference. But I was also having a conversation on another podcast, actually, where we're talking about the, like, different generations and how they have done things differently. So now opening up a conversation about how you may be doing things in terms of, like, parenting or whatever is working for you, there's a lot of kind of, not like criticism, but, like, feedback about, oh, well, you should be doing this because we did this. Granted, they haven't had children in 30 plus years. So it's very, it's hard. It's like another stressor to talk about these things sometimes.
It is. You know, you get the, like, well-intentioned.
Yes, absolutely.
But unhelpful comments that are like, well, you know, we didn't give you organic whatever and you turned out fine.
Yes. Or, like, and you turned out fine. That's the main,
what was that?
That's the main quote. And you turned out fine.
And you turned out fine. Or, like, you didn't have seat belts and you're fine. Or, like, you know, all the things. And it's hard. It's hard because it makes you second guess yourself. And, you know, I also think that we do it among our peers as well, like our age group, you know? And I think that there has to be an increase in empathy.
Yes.
Because what worked for my parents did not work for their parent, you know, like, every generation, I'm sure, like, they probably had these same conversations about whatever our grandparents said to our parents. But just among, you know, among each other, like, I'm sure if you and I compared notes, like, we probably do a lot of things really differently, you know, and it's not for me, who has no real understanding of your life and your environment and your scenario, to have any judgment. You know, and so it's interesting, but also I think, like, sharing is so key, because I will say there are a lot of people, like, I learn from my friends all the time. So there's a fine line, sort of saying, like, hey, this is what we did today and this is how we're doing it. It's not, this is how you should do it. I can't believe you don't do this. Why don't you parent like this?
Absolutely. You know? And I wholeheartedly agree with that, that it's, it should be, people should share things, because I think I said it before, but they might not have thought about, oh, like I could try that. I could do that. And,
right.
Or if they want to, if they don't want to, that's totally fine. I think there just needs to be less judgment, less criticism, less opinions on how people choose to do things, because that's a whole nother layer when you are in the postpartum period, is you're already like, okay, I'm a new mom. I'm healing from having my baby. I'm learning my baby. I'm sleep deprived, most likely. And you're learning all these things, but then you also have the, like the peanut gallery, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're very well intentioned in most of the time. And it's not like you're saying, I don't want to hear what you have to say. It's just, I think there needs to be more of a just, oh, this is what you did. I'm glad that worked for you. Like, maybe we'll try that. Maybe we won't, because it doesn't work for our lifestyle. I think there just needs to be more of that.
Yes, it's so true. You know, and really, I think it starts like during pregnancy and birth, right?
Yes.
Like this mm-hmm. is, you know, you talk about this is a birth podcast, and like that is a huge aspect of it, right? Like shoulding all over women and families about how they should give birth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure that every pregnant person experiences this, that no matter, like if someone asks you about your birth plan, no matter what you say, someone is going to have a comment.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to have an unmedicated birth, and instantly there's someone that says, well, like, what are you trying to prove? There's no metal. Why would you ever want to do that?
Yeah.
And you say, well, I'm going to get an epidural. And then there's people who are like, well, don't you want to experience it? And we're not going to be able to move. And blah, blah, blah. You know, the judgment starts very early in our parenthood.
I can relate to that, because I said that I was going to do it unmedicated as long as I could. And the comment was, so you're just going to sit through the pain? And I was like, well, if you look at it that way, sure. If that's what you think. But it just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, there's no one size fits all. Everybody does things differently. And honestly, if everybody did things the same, our world would be so friggin' boring.
So boring.
So boring.
So boring. My job would be so boring. Our kids would be boring, like because we'd just be growing these little robots,
yeah.
You know? I mean, there's so much, but, you know, encouraging newly pregnant people to like cancel out the noise and
yes.
dig in and
yes.
figure out, you know, what is important to them. You know, this is one of the things that I talk about in the book, but like, what are your values? What are the things that matter to you? Because those values are going to be different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And those are your North Star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you get yourself through pregnancy and birth and new motherhood, new parenthood, being true to you? Because every time that I've done something because I thought it was what I was supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
it's not turned out well.
No. Oh my gosh. I know. I'm glad that you brought that up though, because I feel like we're so focused on what everyone else says, and we don't take the time to just sit and think about what you want, what your values are, how you want to do things, because so many people are shoulding and telling you what you should be doing.
Yeah.
But also I think it's important to touch on that sometimes you have certain things that you think are going to be the way that you want to do things. And then you have your baby, and then those things shift.
Because oh, yeah.
that happened to me. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. And so kind of giving yourself a little grace that, okay, you thought you might want to do something one way, and then your baby arrived, and then you realized that that was not – you thought that that might work, and then it's not going to work anymore, and that's
yeah.
okay. And it's okay to go with it.
And that might change 100 times over.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Between now and then, you know, because they grow, we grow, things change, opportunities present themselves,
mm-hmm.
opportunities go away, you know, and you pivot. That's what life is, right? You reassess, you pivot, and you make it work.
Yeah. Whenever you say pivot, I just think of that scene from Friends. I'm sorry.
Pivot. There are a lot of moving couches also in parenthood. That's a big part of it too.
Lots of moving couches. Lots of moving furniture. I would say, because you're a nurse, a midwife as well, correct?
Correct.
So have you, I just was curious if you worked with a lot of like birth doulas and postpartum doulas, and would you recommend that people have a postpartum doula if it is something that they are able to do?
I mean, I think that doulas, birth doulas, postpartum doulas are, they're invaluable. They are so many benefits, research proven, you know, benefits to birth and to postpartum recovery and all of that. I think that, you know, again, it comes down to doing what works best for the family. If it is, you know, financially an option, and if you feel comfortable with that as an option, I think it's something that everyone could consider. Also understanding that some people don't, you know, some people aren't comfortable having, you know, someone in their home. Some people, you know, certainly can't afford it. Some people may have family that can do it. So I think it's always worth considering. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you make the decision that works best for your family, for sure.
Well, I feel like a postpartum doula could even come in as a version of your parents, like, or your friends. It doesn't have to be that's their prime role. It can be somebody who can help you and support and nurture you.
Absolutely. And I think it comes back to like showing new parents that they're important, you know, and feeling, those first weeks of having a baby are like some of the loneliest time that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And so having someone, whether it's a doula, a friend, a partner, a meal train, you know, whatever it is, some showing that you are not alone.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of the things that's happening now during the pandemic is people are having to give birth during this really scary situation and then like socially distance.
I know.
During this very, very hard time. But I do think, you know, one of the good things is that there are so many virtual options. So for people that do have friends that are giving birth during this time and becoming parents during this time, you know, don't not reach out to them.
Yes.
Because of this, you know, right. Even if it's a Zoom, you know, chat, even if it's a phone call, even if it's a text, like, again, it comes back to those little things,
the little things
that show people that they matter.
I was going to say the smallest things always tend to make the biggest differences.
Right.
And people are like, oh, well, it's just something little. And you're like, no, it can be like literally huge for a new parent.
Yeah. It's so true. I just like have such one of my best friends when I was living in New York, when I had my first would like, once a week, she would just come by and bring me a bagel and a cup of coffee. Aww. And she would stay for like 10 minutes. I still get choked up when I think about those. I mean, first of all, New York City bagels, which like, come on, miss those. And just, it was like, hey, she thought of me and she did this really sweet little thing. And it was, you know, it was amazing. And it made it, you know, such a different experience.
Yeah. And even, like I said, like, one of the things that I learned after having her is, like, or even, I think even before, it was something that I was thinking about, and just going over and, like, or knowing what their favorite meal is and just going and dropping it off and not expecting to see the baby or nothing, or, like, ordering something for them and having it sent to their house. Like, the smallest little things like that make the biggest difference, especially when you're in the middle of it.
Or like a text message that says like, hey, I want you to know that you're a really good mom.
Yeah.
Done. You know, like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Like, those things, they matter so much. They
so
really
much.
Do.
Yeah, I feel like everything that we've talked about, like I said, always intertwines all together. But I wanted to see if you wanted to talk about your book a little bit so we could learn about what it's all about, and share with the listeners so they can check it out too.
Sure. Well, thank you. Yeah, so it's called The Motherly Guide to Becoming Mama, Redefining the Pregnancy, Birth, and Postpartum Journey. It's a long title, so I always have to like think, but I think we got it. And it is a comprehensive, holistic, woman-centered guide to pregnancy, birth, and the fourth trimester. So we start with trying to conceive and the decision to have a baby, and then we move all the way through pregnancy, birth, and then the fourth trimester. One of the things that was really important to us in the creation of this book is that when we started, we didn't start writing right away. We went to the motherly community and we asked about 1,000 women to let us know, you know, what they needed in a pregnancy book. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you love about what's already out there? What are the things that you're not so into about what's already out there? You know, what was your experience like? What would have been helpful? What are you scared of? You know, all of that. And then I started writing to make sure that the book was really what women were asking for and what people needed during this time.
Which I think is huge.
Thank you.
You don't.
Thanks.
Like, I'm not saying there's not. It's not worth it to write a book just about what you want to write about. But that's one of the things I love so much about Motherly is that there's so much, I don't even know like the right word for it. Like you guys are always looking for an open line of communication. So their people are getting what they're looking for. Do you know what
Thank
I mean?
You.
Like they're,
yeah, we try really hard to, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot are pain points. You know, how do we really listen to what people are experiencing and then respond in a meaningful way.
Yes.
So thank you for noticing and for saying that. And so, yeah, it was really important for the book to do that. It's also, it's inclusive, you know, so the only time that I ever say the word like husband mm-hmm. in the book, for example, is if I'm like sharing a little anecdote about my actual husband,
right?
Or a quote from somebody, you know, so we're not making assumptions about people and their lives. The illustrations, I am not a drawing person with a drawing skill, but I can brag on the person who did the illustrations named Steffa Lawson. They're beautiful. And they are also inclusive. You know, there are women with all different color skin and all different
size
bodies. And yeah, so that part's really exciting. And then I got to collaborate with about 16 different experts in writing the book. So, you know,
wow.
We have a nutritionist, a lactation consultant, a fitness person, a doula, a couple doctors, a finance person, some life coaches, you know, more than that too. Just to make sure that every aspect of pregnancy and this transition to becoming a mama is covered, because it's not just like a thing that your uterus does, right?
Right.
Like
oh my gosh.
It is a thing that every aspect of your life does.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to make sure that all of that was addressed. Yeah.
I mean, congrats, first of all.
Thank you.
I cannot
Thank
wait
you.
To read it. But I'm really glad, too, that you touched on being inclusive and inclusivity, because it's something that I'm really trying to work on in the language that I use and being more mindful of it.
Yeah.
And it's something that's important for me for this podcast as well, is that there is like there's zero tolerance for racism or anything like that, that everybody is equal and everybody
yeah.
has different lifestyles and different family dynamics. And there is nothing wrong with that. So thank you for touching on that, and thank you for showing that in the work that you're doing, because it's something that's so important, is to have everybody feel like they're supported, especially during this time.
Thank you. Yeah, no, that was incredibly important to us. You know, and something that we want to continue to do and to get better at. You know, this is a quote that I do know who to attribute this quote to. It's Maya Angelou, who said, you know, you do the best that you can, and when you know better, you do better. So, you know, I am continuing to learn and continuing to try to do better in that aspect. And yeah, but we wanted to make it so that as many people as possible could like see themselves within the pages of this book, both literally and sort of figuratively.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm so excited that it's launching soon.
Thanks. Yeah, me too.
So we're wrapping up this episode, and I just wanted to see if there was anything that you wanted to leave listeners with, whether it's words of advice or something that you just wanted to touch on, words of encouragement, anything like that.
Yeah, I would be honored to. You know, I think that if I could like have one sort of impact on the world or on a single person, would be to really instill a sense of trusting your intuition, especially when you become a parent. Absolutely. I mean, as someone who has written a book about this journey, like I think that you should like, you know, reach out to experts and go to your pediatrician and read studies. And like, obviously all of that is incredibly important. But also there's a big part of it that's trusting, you know, trusting your intuition and trusting yourself and knowing that you are your baby's expert and you can make decisions for them with the help of, you know, a few trusted experts in your life, like pediatricians and OBs and midwives and stuff. But that you don't have to second guess yourself all the time, because that is exhausting.
Yes.
And again, if you do it from love, you're doing it right.
Yeah. I love that. And I think that's so important, because there's so much second guessing that happens because of it. Because of the shoulding and because of the things that we see and comparing people to everybody else. So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, no, of course. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And
thanks for having me.
For chatting with us. And I know that there are so many listeners that are going to benefit from what you've shared with us today, but also will benefit from reading your book.
Thank you.
And so can you tell us where people can find you? Whatever you feel comfortable sharing, and I will include everything in the show notes as well.
Okay, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the best place is just to come on over to Motherly. So it's mother.ly. And I have like a gajillion articles on all the things over there, so you can find me there. I also, the book comes out on April 14th. I actually also just launched a week-by-week podcast for pregnancy.
Ooh, yay.
So yeah, that is called the Becoming Mama Podcast, so you can find me over there. And then certainly Motherly is on, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn,
everything,
all those you know, good things. So we're all over the place, and are always, you know, like you had mentioned, always listening and always want to know how we can continue to support moms and families better. So we're open, and you know, we're here for you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know about your podcast that you're having. I'm excited for that too.
Thanks. Yeah, it's brand new actually. But it's like a companion podcast to the book. So it's a week by week, you know, so they're short little episodes. So it's like, oh, you're 12 weeks pregnant. Like, here's a quick little episode about things that you can think about this week.
Gotcha.
You know, so perfect. Yeah, it was fun. It's fun.
Awesome. Yay. Well, thank you so much to all the listeners for tuning in, for spending your time with us, no matter what you're doing, whether you're at home, which you probably are at this point.
Yeah. I know.
But as always, if you guys have questions for myself, a few questions for Diana, please feel free to reach out to us. We are more than happy to do another podcast or answer your questions or whatever it may be. So thank you again for listening. Thank you, Diana. And we will chat with you all next week. Bye.